Hi everyone. Welcome to Nom Watch Review, part of Nom Talk Network. On the show, we review the latest film drop or throwback, celebrating a milestone while eating and drinking our favorite movie snacks and drinks. Don't forget, we do have merch, so just type in merch into the chat or look onto our page and you can find it there. It's some actually awesome merch. I'm your host, Eric Ramirez, if I can clear my throat. And today I'm enjoying a nice Cubano and some plantain chips and also a molten lava cake. Like, you have to have it. You have to have it. But I'm so excited to introduce our guests today, Amanda, Alejandro, and Mike. Thank you for being here. We'll start with you, Alejandro. Thank you for being here. What are you snacking and drinking on tonight?
Today I'm pretty simplistic. I got a little shameless plug, Coca-Cola here, and then also I have my own little form of a charcuterie board. Yes, you heard that right, a charcuterie. So little Doritos, a little Nerd gummies, and oh, look at this fine selection of Doritos, and I think some M&Ms and some Reese's Pieces. So I'll be dining elegantly with you guys there.
Oh, very elegant. I love it. I
No.
love it. Well, thank you for being here. Amanda, I first time meeting you. Thank you for being here. What are you snacking or drinking on today?
Soda water, which you can't see because my camera sucks, and some Pocky because that's all I could grab at
Oh no, trust
times.
me, I've been there. I constantly eat candy because that's the quickest thing for me to grab. So but thank you for being here. And then Mike, thank you for coming back. What are you
Of
snacking
course.
and drinking on tonight?
I'm also keeping it simple with a promotional plug for Mountain Dew Baja Blast. I wish I had something as fancy as Cubanos because that sounds amazing.
It
And
does.
maybe some grilled cheese, some other stuff like that. We gotta talk a lot of food in this one, so I'm gonna be hungry by the end of this.
Oh yeah, no. We were doing this, and I had to go because the place that we have is open for like 4 hours, and that's the window that you can get a Cubano. So like, I literally went there earlier today. I was like, I have to get one because I've been craving one anyway. So, but
Nice.
thank you guys for being here. Before we start, I do want to let everybody out there know that we are still fundraising for the Trevor Project with a goal of $200. So be sure to check that out too. If you want more information, check down in the link or in the chat and we can get you more information on that. But to get on to it, we are talking about the 2014 movie Chef, The Chef, El Jefe. It's a really good movie. I enjoy it. So I'm just going to jump right into it. Like, when did you guys first see this film? And also, what popcorn rating do you give this movie? I'll start with you on this one, Mike, because I'm very curious. What's your popcorn rating and like, what are your thoughts on this film?
Yeah, so I'm a Favreau fan. I've always been a Favreau fan, I think, dating back to really Elf, like his directorial debut. I mean, he's been an amazing writer, don't get me wrong. Everybody loved what's it called? Swingers and Maid, really good movies like that. But then, after Elf, no one knew that he could really direct well. And then he did Zathura, which wasn't bad. It flopped, but it wasn't bad. And the action spectacle in that movie really prepared him to do Iron Man. And come on, guys. I mean, that's just one of the best like comic book movies ever made. One of my favorite movies personally. Especially it kicked off the MCU, all of that. And I followed his career because literally for me, he couldn't do any wrong. So when Chef came out, and it was really his response to having to, be in that studio system and cook these blockbuster movies with studio notes from executives who don't know anything about filmmaking. When he came and did Chef, I got really excited because it was something that was personal to him, something that he was excited about making. So I saw this as soon as I could in 2014. Loved it to death. Such a good movie. It's the greatest food porn movie ever made. In my opinion, this is a 4 out of 5 popcorn rating. It's a wonderful movie, the one that I rewatch over and over and over again. Is it a perfect movie? No. But is it a lovely, amazing, good time? That's heartwarming, that's fun, and mouth-watering, for lack of a better term. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, no, I'm right there, and we are going to get into that amazing food porn that you mentioned at a point in here. Trust me. But Alejandro, what is your popcorn rating and why? And when did you first see this movie?
Man, see, 2014 was the graduation year of my brother. So, kind of a prominent year in general, knowing, family-wise growing up. But I went to culinary arts school back in the day for about 4 or 5 years. And amidst that, I kind of stopped that, chose a different path. So anything that has to do with culinary, I'm always slightly interested because, you have a relation to it. You waste, I say waste. It's more like you spend so much time, studying and prepping and so forth as well. So you kind of just stuck with some of the things in your head. So this movie kind of excited me when it came out. I'm a big fan of Elf. So, my great Gollum, this was a huge fan of Elf just in general. And honestly speaking, I had no idea that he directed it at the time. Because for me at the time being, I was, I still am, I'd say, passionate about films and so forth, but I almost get lost so much in the world that is presented on actual screen. So therefore, like the names of the directors and so forth as well are never really prevalent to me initially on there. So it was a pleasant surprise knowing that he actually did this in general. But my big connection for it initially is just my graduation year, my brother, the family connection that you see that's inside the actual film itself just kind of reminds me a lot of stuff. Connection to the culinary art world in general, and a little passion. Or reason why it's 4.5 out of 5. I believe the direction of the female leads seem to be going in circles a little bit, focused on the male, but this is my personal opinion. So we can go on that a little later, though. But yeah, 4 out of 5, 4.5 out of 5.
4.5. Yeah, no, I agree with you. The female direction on this is lacking. Scarlett Johansson, Sofia Vergara, their characters are there, but it's also very man-driven, which is an issue. So I totally agree with you on that. Amanda, what is your popcorn score? And then when did you see this movie, and what were your thoughts?
My popcorn score is 5 out of 5. I love this movie. I actually saw this in April of 2014. I got tickets to a secret screening. Had no idea what I was walking into. And I knew nothing about the film, and I didn't even know what I was seeing. So it was a pleasant surprise. And then I saw it 4 times in the theaters. Like Mike, I'm a huge Favreau fan, but I'm also a really, really, really massive John Leguizamo fan, and I've been in love with him since I was like 13 years old. And so I will see any movie that he's in, no matter what it is. I've been following Favreau's career also forever, back in like the days of hot John Favreau in Love and Sex with Famke Janssen, which you can't find because if you search for it, you will find porn. But yeah, it was such a pleasant surprise, and I came out of the movie like, oh my God, I have to see it again and again, and also very hungry.
Oh yeah, no. So I'm right there with you. I gave it a 5 out of 5. I think this movie is fantastic. Like, give me all the food porn. Give me Favreau, Sofia Vergara, John Leguizamo. Much like you, I watch anything John Leguizamo's in. I love him. I think he's such a talented actor. So I kind of just follow him along. But reason for me being a 5 out of 5 is the storyline of the like relationship with the father and the son, I really enjoy. And you see that build, and you actually get to see that, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Food trucks, which they brought out like the food trucks and everything, and it kind of made it bigger and everything. And then also just the food in this movie is gorgeous and delicious, and I want every bit of it. And I'm going to have to start just making it now because I'm not in LA and I can't get it regularly. But let's get into the story a little bit. So we have Carl Casper, played by Jon Favreau, is a top chef at an LA restaurant, and he's gonna about to get reviewed by Ramsay Michael, who's played by Oliver Platt. So he has this big menu that he wants to do, changing up stuff. And then the owner of the restaurant, Reva, who's played by Dustin Hoffman, comes in and says, "You've been making this food for the last 10 years. Everybody loves it. Don't change it up. Just serve what you know because that's what your customers are here to do." Serves this food to this critic, and the critic tears him a new one and says that his culinary genius is pretty much boring. It's cloying. He just looks like he is now the aunt who gives their niece or nephew or children $5 because she wants them to like them. Completely obliterates this man. So Carl gets mad, and his sous chef and everybody, who's played by Bobby Cannavale and John Leguizamo say, "Have you seen Twitter? Don't look at Twitter." And then he sees Twitter, and the review has been picked up everywhere. So Carl gets a Twitter and calls out Oliver Platt's character online, and says that he wouldn't know anything if it came up and bit him on the butt, pretty much. And then Oliver Platt says, "Why don't you go? I'd rather you sit on my face after a brisk walk than to eat your food again." So he tells him to come back into the restaurant and he'll serve him this amazing meal, buys all the stuff, goes back into the restaurant. And then again, Dustin Hoffman's like, "No, you're not doing this. You're serving the same food," and fires him. So not only has he been fired as a chef and lost his restaurant, his career is tanking because of this review, and he has nothing really. Sofia Vergara convinces him to go all the way to Florida with her to watch their son, who's played by MJ Anthony, to watch their son while she's doing work and everything like that. And it was kind of a ploy on her part so she can get him to talk to her ex-husband, so he can get a food truck. He gets this food truck and they fix it up and everything. John Leguizamo flies to Florida. They fix it up and they do this cross-country thing to get it back to LA. And the son is tweeting and doing live tweets and everything. And the food truck just picks up and picks up, picks up, picks up. So by the time they get back to LA, the relationship between his son and him, because it's been a little bit broken, has definitely picked up and gotten better. And they enjoy spending time with each other. The food truck's being super successful. And then lo and behold, Ramsay Michael goes to the food truck and says he wants to be a partner. Gets some restaurant space, everything at the end of the movie. Joyous, he gets a chef career where he wants to be, create what he wants, nobody over his head, everything like that. And it's a good end to the movie. But Alejandro, what did you think of this storyline? Did you like it? Did you think it was fast paced? What were your thoughts?
The storyline, initially seeing it and actually taking a significant amount of time before I rewatched it again and watching it now, still surprising me to this day. You're looking at it, the vibe it delivers to you initially that you're actually seeing, leading man, Jon Favreau does an excellent job of actually, creating, I would say, this chaotic genius that he's supposed to be setting forth. And when I say chaotic genius, it's more along the line like your average Joe, but really has great ideas and ordeals to take these dishes and make a masterpieces on there. But the only flaw, as you said before, is his lack of being in his son's life or being aware, I'd say, jumping on the gun in a sense. So I think as a protagonist in this, I would say, storyline in general, he makes an excellent protagonist, a great person. You see an excellent roller coaster of emotions. You feel the son that's there. Oliver Platt, I mean, you see him in general. I mean, if you're looking at him, Ramsey, him playing Carrie, Ramsey Mitchell is ridiculously great. He plays a great asshole, yet polite. I mean, he has, and you, at the end, you even, even admits that there was a miscommunication between them in general when they were actually duking it out. And considering the fact that he has a history with Carl Casper. He's technically he's the one that, founded him, gave him those two, Michelin, hypothetical Michelin 2 stars. They didn't necessarily call them in the film, but the 2 stars you can assume what they are. But he gives him this whole concept of it's almost a classic Oedipus tale, almost a classic concept of going too close to the sun and falling down and getting back down to, I would say, the bottom, the bottom of the floor. I mean, he's there, he's really crawling, and he's surrounded by people he loves, yet that love him. And you can see his, child reaching out for him. And I just ultimately, I think it was a strong story. I really do. My major complaint, once again, is just the female leads. I thought there could have been more of it. And the crazy thing is, though, they were still strong leads. And they were given a role, and they did it. And I was impressed. I just feel like I wish there was a little bit more in there. And don't get me wrong, maybe it wasn't required. Maybe because we're highlighted on Carl Casper himself in general. But ultimately, once again, in short, I think the story was pretty smooth.
Oh yeah, no, I agree with you. The story for me was no, there was no down moments for me, even like the down moments, like when they're in the van and they put the cornstarch on their balls, like those moments, even though they just kept like pushing forward. If it wasn't something food, it was something story. If it wasn't something story, it was
Was it
like,
Hush Puppies?
but
Was that
no, I agree with you that, but like the women leads, even though they were there, they were lacking because it was, again, men focused, man focused. Even like I said, before we started the cast, Sofia Vergara did an interview, and all because she could really talk about was she wanted to be the perfect mom for her son, and it was still that, and that's really all she could say about her character. Nothing about else about her character, and she's a talented actress, which this movie actually did prove to me that how talented she actually is.
Those looks, the look she gave to him, in my opinion, were just, it felt like she portrayed 30-second monologues with just glancing at him. And she said, "Are you okay?" But you saw it from her face. She was like concerned. Hey, we're married. We might be divorced. We have a kid together. I'm asking from a friendly perspective. Are you okay? And I actually felt that. In that 30 seconds, I was like, okay, all right, I see you. Because I only see, comedy nowadays. Not that she isn't a passionate, excellent, fantastic actor. It's just that, I don't know. I felt like it could have gave her a little bit more in the script.
Yeah, no, I get you. I get you. I feel you on that. Amanda, what was your thoughts on the storyline? Was it lacking for you? Did you love it? I mean, we gave it 5 out of 5. It's a perfect movie for me.
I mean, I loved it. One of the really interesting things that struck me, especially, being the age that I am and having parents that are older, was kind of this boomer mentality that he had with not being aware of the internet and Twitter and like this whole social media aspect and learning it from his fairly young. I mean, his kid's what, 9, 10 years old in this movie? And his kids. I mean, his kid's the reason this whole thing succeeds because his kid's the one who's like, come get food in New Orleans, come get food in Texas, come get food, wherever we're at, this is where we're heading. And so really it's, the success is his and the food is his, but his son is the whole reason that that truck, got to where it was. And by the time it reaches LA and Oliver Platt's character is like, oh my God, this is the best food ever. It's because of all of the, work that this kid has done in the time it's taken them to drive across the country. So I really kind of love that, like, the boomer and like Gen Z thing going on between him and his kid and like learning to relate through, social media. 'Cause I've definitely gone through that with my own parents and like I taught my mom how to send memes and now that's all I get 17 times a day. Is, memes from my mom that are usually bearded dragon videos.
Nice, nice.
And then it's interesting because there seems to be stories, like there's obviously a story going on with the ex-husband played by Robert Downey Jr., which you don't really get to hear about. And then there's obviously a story with John Leguizamo. I mean, he ups and quits his job after Carl Casper leaves, flies to Miami and's like, all right, fuck it, I don't have a job right now. We're doing a food truck. Let's go. So there's something going on in his own life, which I wish they had delved into a little bit more. But, as a supporting character, which he normally is, he is one of the best.
Oh yeah. Speaking of John Leguizamo's character, actually, before we get into this, I want to jump in the chat really quickly. We do have some points redeemed thus far. Q Ball, hi Q, thank you for being here. Redeemed hydrate for everybody, so cheers. And then Nom Talk Network redeemed stretch, so everybody take a good stretch. Ooh, that was nice, actually.
Feels good after sitting in a car for an hour worth of traffic.
You bringing up John Leguizamo's character, Martin, just like quits his job and just follows John Favreau out to Florida. What I do really appreciate about this movie too is the glimpses that you get of the relationships with all the other characters. Like, even though if it's small, like, you see that one scene with Scarlett Johansson where he makes her pasta, and then when they're sitting outside and talking, stuff like that. Just those little things, you should see the connection between each character, which I think they did brilliantly in this movie.
I think that's something that's innately Jon Favreau as a director, because any of the movies that you watch, like there are those moments where like there's obviously a relationship with this other character. And almost everything he's done, regardless of what it is, when there are supporting characters, like you know that there's a backstory. And it I think it just gives it a dimension that a lot of other films don't really have. Like sometimes supporting characters are just kind of there, but no, like he and John Leguizamo have obviously been friends for a very long time.
Oh yeah, you could definitely tell. Speaking of that, we're going to move into this cast because this cast, what Favreau was able to do with bringing all these people, I think is amazing. We have obviously Jon Favreau playing Carl. We have John Leguizamo playing Martin, Bobby Cannavale playing Tony, Scarlett Johansson, Dustin Hoffman, MJ Anthony, Sofia Vergara, Oliver Platt, Robert Downey Jr. What did you guys think of this cast? Because I think they all worked well together for me. And it was just wonderful to see them in something that we haven't seen them in a bit for me, because all of them were doing like most so most of them were doing Marvel stuff. We'll start with you on this one, Alejandro.
The cast is freaking fantastic. That was the one thing that blew me out of the water. Initially, when I saw this film, I thought most of the majority of them did so well of being down to earth, essentially who they are. Even Robert Downey Jr. I mean, considering that man was so much above the top in his acting, and the reason being, he's with Marvel. You mentioned before, therefore he kind of had a persona about him. I mean, I even saw him as like, Iron Man standing there talking to him in a sense of being who he is, Mr. Money himself. But yeah, anybody. I mean, looking at Amy Sedaris, Oliver Platt, you're looking at like Dustin Hoffman. Jesus Christ! I never thought I would look at Dustin Hoffman and be like, "You're an asshole." I never thought I would ever do that, and now I'm seeing him as like a semi-villain. You know what I mean? Or we say semi-villain, more of I'd say an unconnected or not connected with your modern day essence. I see a definition of a. Being the example of being outdated in a sense. Oh my God, Amanda mentioned before, John Leguizamo is a legend. I love everything he is. In my head, I have him stuck in Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio right now, as because I that man will always be be him in my heart. So the cast is fantastic. I think they did a really great job with Percy, with him being there as this kid. Expressing things. At first, I was a little like, oh, this kid, I don't know his acting chops. He doesn't say anything. But Eric, you mentioned Generation Z. He was a perfect example of being quiet, but was aware. I was out there. He spoke with media. He was extremely talented. And I think he did well in regards to the essence of being that. You could be over the top. You can act too whiny. You can act like a brat. But I thought he did really good with showing a little bit of rebellion. For example, his argument when they were cleaning the vehicle, the truck itself. And he was asked to clean up the nasty leftover food crap in the pan. Him and Favreau duked it out back and forth, saying, "Why are you so mean to me?" You don't see him talk much, but all of a sudden now he's like going back and forth with him and expressing that anger. I think that showed a sufficient amount of chops. But ultimately, I thought the cast was great. I don't have any complaints. And ultimately, I think that's essentially was the cherry on the top of the movie.
Oh yeah, no, completely agree with you. Type A casting, like he pulled out all the stops for this for me. Amanda, what were your thoughts on this cast?
I love the cast. I mean, it's a star-studded cast, and I think at the point that this came out, Favreau had proved himself and was able to get, a star-studded cast. I do also really like that there's representation. I mean, the chef, like the food truck is Cubanos. It's a, it's a traditional food. And Sofia Vergara and John Leguizamo and even the kid, like there was at least a an homage to like the Latino culture brought into the movie and keeping with the theme of the food. I appreciate it. There's not a lot of representation for various cultures. And so that was, it was nice that they kind of made that nod. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I'll watch anything with John Leguizamo in it.
Yeah, no, back to how Alejandro said that he sees John Leguizamo in Romeo and Juliet. When I think of John Leguizamo, I think of Tu Huang Fu. That's
One of
constantly
my
what I think
favorites,
of.
but
One of
the
my favorites.
pest.
The Pest. Not very well-known film, but he did this horror film where he was Rumpelstiltskin. Love that. Love that movie. And not a lot of people know about it. Watch it
But
if you...
I've seen all his stuff on Broadway too, like his like one man shows and his comedy specials. Brilliant. And he's so, true to life and he, it I mean comedy is supposed to be use what you know, but
Correct. No,
yeah,
it's super. He's super good. He's so good. Mike, what were your thoughts on this cast?
I mean, it speaks volumes about Jon Favreau as a director that most of these people are people that we see in future projects of his, and in this movie as well. John Leguizamo's made appearances in Mandalorian, Amy Sedaris, of course. Downey followed him from a big studio, movie. He was Iron Man at the peak of Iron Man's popularity at this point. Followed Jon Favreau in here, ScarJo as well. It is a stacked cast, but that stacked cast is due to the fact that he's a good director who has great relationships with, his cast members. So I'm really glad that they all followed him here, and they do stellar work, honestly. Like, everyone's phenomenal in this movie, and a lot of fun. Oliver Platt and him, I think, I just have this amazing tense chemistry, which I really like. I'm actually going to circle back a little bit to the story because I didn't get a chance to talk about that like at all.
Oh,
So
sorry. My bad.
no, it's
Go
fine. It's
ahead.
fine. Yeah, I'm just gonna say, like, I gave this a 4 out of 5. I want you guys to remember that I do love this movie, but the one thing about the story that I didn't really love, and I know that everybody does love it because it is the heartwarming part of the story, is the father-son relationship. As sweet as it is the one part of this movie that feels a little safe and manufactured for a movie that's not really about manufactured product. I mean, like, this is it's the one moment in this movie that feels a little bit Hallmarky, and that's the reason that I gave this a 4 out of 5. It's a little predictable, it's a little safe. And for a movie, there's two stories in this movie for me. There's the story of a man rediscovering his creative spark after being weighed down with soulless product for so long. And then there's the father-son relationship, which ironically feels a little safe and a little Hallmarky, like the product of a studio picture. So I'm kind of like, it's kind of interesting that there's this juxtaposition between the two stories. Yeah, I thought that's the one part about this that dinged, that I dinged it a point for. However, it's still a sweet story. It's still good. The chemistry between Favreau and MJ, the actor, is phenomenal. You could really tell that Percy and Carl have this, unstated love for each other that becomes stated at the end, and that's actually sold because of the cast. And because of just really sweet writing, even if it is a little bit cutesy, for lack of a better term. It's the one part of this thing I think is a little cutesy.
I'm curious what makes you think it's manufactured, just because, again, from two vastly different generations, they found something that brought them together. And I think that that's, I mean, my relationship with my own parents, like, it took, certain elements that we finally connected on after being, so completely different to forge a relationship. And I'm curious why you think it feels manufactured.
Yeah, it's because honestly, this is, if nothing else, this is another example of workaholic father neglecting son. That he needs to discover his passion for, life, to discover that there are things that matter to him personally more so than just, his work. And there's a million and a half Elf, for example. Jon Favreau's first movie is literally about the same thing: workaholic father neglecting his sons, both of them. So in my opinion, it's a repeat of similar themes that he's touched on in previous movies. But also, when you get into early thousands, you have movies like Chef. I mean, sorry, you have movies like Elf. You have movies like A Haunted Mansion. Every Eddie Murphy movie during that time. It was always about workaholic fathers not realizing what matters most in their life, which is their sons, their children, their families. This is another one of those movies as well. Now, it's executed a lot better than some of those garbage Eddie Murphy movies in the early thousands, but it's the same beats and the same points that we've seen over and over again in these sorts of movies. So it's kind of like, as much as it does feel heartwarming, and it because of the execution, because of the cast, to me it's not it doesn't tread new ground in this, arena, and it kind of plays out very similarly to most of these sorts of movies, making it a little bit formulaic, a little bit predictable. Not necessarily a bad thing, if the movie itself sticks the landing and is really sweet, really heartwarming, really touching. But at the same time, it does add a little bit of predictability to this movie, and a little less reality, I guess, for what it's worth. It feels like a movie that we've seen before. That aspect.
Okay. Well, now that you mentioned everything, why and everything, it seemed a little manufactured. Jon Favreau did an interview that I was watching, and now it makes sense. He was saying because he hadn't done a lesser, not a lesser, not as big budget movie in quite a while because he was stuck in Marvel and doing all of those things. So it does make sense now that because he's mentioned he didn't know if he could do it again because he started off with doing low budget films and stuff like that. He didn't know if he could do it. So that makes a lot of sense that he may have pulled on stuff from his past, like Elf, to be like, okay, I know this part of the storyline and I got that very well. So I see what you're talking about now, though. Definitely does make sense. I do want to touch base on the food of this film because there's a lot. During this whole process, Jon Favreau actually worked in a kitchen for a very, very long time with Roy Choi, who is the owner of Kogi, the food truck that goes around LA, and is a massive chef around the world as well. Took time and he taught him everything. What did you guys think of this food? We have stuff from braised chicken to Cubans to roasted mojo pork to what else do we have? Grilled cheese. That grilled cheese, I want to make a grilled cheese like that, and I never been able to do it. But we have molten fucking lava cakes, which actually I'm very disappointed in these. They're not molten at all, and it breaks
It's
my
fucking molten.
heart. We also have berries and cream. We have Café du Monde beignets, like, and we have that braised pork when they get to Texas. What did you guys think about this food and how well and how they treated it in this film and respected it? We'll start with you on this one, Mike.
Yeah, the food scenes in this movie are just phenomenal. Every single time I watch this movie, it makes me want to cook and it makes me want to eat. To the point where literally, as soon as I watched this movie, I tried my best to learn how to make mojo pork and tried to make my own cubanos at home. Which honestly is they ended up being some of the finest things that I've felt I've created. Like I just got addicted to my own supply. But it's because of this movie and because of the recipes that Favreau generously kind of put out online, you know. I mean, like the grilled cheese, everybody was trying to figure out what the combination was, and it's, I believe, is it Parmesan, Gruyere, and cheddar, I think. I'm gonna have to relook it up, but I think that that's the recipe for this. But he would put out these things, and I would want to make these like types of foods. Because of the way that they're depicted and executed in this movie, they look so amazing. Roy Choi did a great job with all of this. I think there's the scene where, in frustration, he's making a giant feast, the feast that he would have cooked for the restaurant with the gigantic pork belly and the filet mignon and everything like that. And it looks just amazing. I wish that I know that he has a pop-up restaurant in Vegas, that does serve the Cubanos. But I wish at some point, he'd serve the chef feast because I want to try that pork belly. I want to try that filet mignon and all of that stuff. It just looked so amazing. The berries and the cream. Oof. I mean, good night. This movie is a heart attack waiting to happen, but it is so delicious and so amazing. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it, guys. But I loved it. I loved it all.
Oh yeah, no, I agree with you. Okay, so before I get to you, Alejandro, Amanda, Cue Ball has redeemed "You're So Punny" for you. So you have to come up with a pun. I'm going to go to Alejandro first and ask him this question: what he thought about the food to give you some time to think about it. Alejandro, what did you think of all this amazing food in this film?
Holy shit, Batman. Initially the interaction and the great thing about this is it's kind of a bait and switch. You have a film that's called Chef. So you're expecting to be, smack dab in the face. It's going to be about culinary. And in the beginning, the opening scenes, you see from the classic concept of the how he is chopping lettuce, how he's chopping the onions, the tomatoes, the actual mushrooms as well, to braising some of the pork, the chicken. In that one in particular, you have you have the molten lava cake, and you also have actual remainder of the dish, which I can't remember necessarily everything. But with that particular thing with the 4-course meal, it just showed in the back of the kitchen. You're like, okay, cool, I'm in. I see where this is going. I see what this is influenced by, but what this film does best is that it makes a show with a foundation about food, but not based on the premise of food. You still have a different storyline. You still have a foundation of, the main characters and what they're struggling with. And by chance, they're really fucking good at food. I mean, even here, John Favreau's character, Casper, even stated when he's talking to Percy when they had their first altercation initially, and when he burned one of the Cubanos inside the thing there, he's like, what's the big deal? You're going to get it for free anyway. He's like, yeah, do you really want to be here? He's like, I happen to be, I'm sorry, I was a shitty father. I happen to be a shitty, boss. I happen to be kind of a crappy friend, but I just happen to be really good at this. And I think the movie highlights the fact that he's really good by showing you he actually took the time to be really good in this. I mean, when he went to get the barbecue, that was Smokehouse Southern butt barbecue. That was like 8 hours of braising in their barbecue. You go in somebody's house in the South and in the back, and they have that the big old 8 smokers back there. That's legitimate how you do it. So, like, respect for his research and going in and at least trying to reflect, the actual concepts of it. And the fact that he went into the concepts of coming from a culinary background, he wanted to show it just by the slicings, the cuts, the way he actually held held the vegetables coming up with his fingernails going in to take in possible, knife cuts and so forth. That he still did that in particular. What I loved about this too is, John Logan Lozamo and also what's his name, Bobby, what his last name,
Bobby.
so thank you very much, I want to butcher that, so I'm gonna get that right eventually. But that being said, both of them reflected just as well of what I would consider what a kitchen background is. That is your line cooks, those are your line chefs. You want them to have your back, and the fact that really they're responding to him consistently, chef, follows along concept of the culinary art world. Now I get it that some people are a little bit more intense, but being, doing cooking stuff for at least 10 years of my life, you're in the back room, the kitchen work, you're seeing, I'd say the camaraderie amongst each other, or the lack of sometimes, and you see that and you're like, okay, all right, you've been talking to somebody, or you've experienced kitchen life yourself. But the food, it's hard not to like it. Going to the Cubano concept, they even show you how they butter the top, put it over there, have the Swiss cheese in there, the mustard, seeing that there's two or three pickles in there. And what I love about it, when he actually does it, you see these things, what I call healthy portions. He dishes these things out, and they're not, methodically placed on there. He's looking methodically, but the way they're being placed is, I consider, like, I see like artists in love. I mean, he expresses the fact that how much he's hurt of the fact that, what's his call, Oliver, Ramsay Mitchell destroyed his life in the colonial world. And the fact that that this movie still reflects, the concepts of, the food shots and the passion, I think it really does well.
Oh yeah, no. Plus, I'm almost out of Cubano, and I'm really sad now. But Amanda, if you come up with your pun, perfect. But what did you think about the food in this film?
Well, I hate to disappoint because I am terrible at puns, but it makes me think about my favorite Eurythmics song, "Sweet Dreams Are Made of Cheese." Who am I to disagree?
Perfect,
That's all I
perfect.
got for
There
you.
you go, Q-Ball.
I love the food, and I can't watch this movie without food. And incidentally, the first time I saw this film, having gone into it not knowing what I was seeing, not having any food, I came out famished. I grew up eating Cubanos. I grew up in New York. There's a big Cuban population in my neighborhood growing up, and like Cubanos were like a mainstay. Like people were out on the streets selling Cubanos the way that they are selling tamales here. So like for me, that's like food that I grew up with. I do have to say though, the whole thing about the grilled cheese, while it looked good, Devil Wears Prada did it better. Because he made a grilled cheese with like a pound of Jarlsberg, and that's like all I could think about for a month after watching that movie was a grilled cheese with Jarlsberg. But yeah, I like the way that the Cubanos made, because I've had some really amazing ones, and Porto's is not far, and they make some of the best ones in the city. And I've had some that people are like, oh, I used, corned beef or whatever. And I'm like, what are you doing? I don't, this is not, this is
That is
not
not
food.
a
No, it's just meat on bread, bro. But then he always talks about it's not just about the food, it's about the utensils too, right? Like, and he takes his kid to buy the knife and explains to him that like a chef knife can last you forever if you take care of it. How he's talking about like how the plancha can burn you, and like it's not just about the food, it's about the cooking and the love and the passion that goes into that food. And I think that's probably what makes that food so good, is that Jon Favreau had passion for what he was doing and what he was creating, and it's evident, just watching the movie, you're like, oh, that's food that's made with love.
Oh yeah, no, especially all the time that he took with Roy Choi to learn how to make all of these things and get the proper knife thing, and then to be online in some of his restaurants, like you could tell that this was a project of love for him. But speaking of all the food and the time that he got to learn and everything like that, there is a spin-off show on Netflix called The Chef Show. I see some of you have seen it. What are your thoughts on that? We'll start with actually you on this one, Amanda, because I've watched a bit of it where he goes in and he cooks with Roy Choi, brings in different celebrities and everything like that. And it's the chef, but just real life. What are your thoughts on this spin-off Netflix show?
It's interesting because, like I just said, like the passion is evident. He found something when he started this project that I don't know that he had prior to. And when he delved into like the research with Roy Choi on the food truck and how to cook and how to do all these things, like I think he discovered another part of himself. And so that show is really like his passion project, where he's just going in and he's cooking, and it's not like watching Martha Stewart, and it's not like watching Bobby Flay or any of these. Like, there's something very different about his show that I don't think exists with a lot of other ones. The only other show I think I've seen come close is Fuck It's Delicious, which I was talking about with somebody today. And just like you can see the love and like the heart that's going into the food and discussing the food and how the food is created. And it's a good show. It's worth a watch.
Well, I've seen him bring Gwyneth Paltrow, but now that you said Martha Stewart, I do want him to bring Martha Stewart on the show because I would love to see that.
The Martha
My
Stewart and the Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg cooking together, like that combination on his show would just be the like mind blown.
Oh, good. Mike, you nodded that you've seen the show as well. What are your thoughts that
Love.
this movie could stem this show as well?
Love the show. So obsessed with it. It is as much about filmmaking as it is about food. And it combines the two passions of Favreau. And to me, I love it. It also makes me just connect with him as a person really, like, closely, because this is one of the busiest men ever in this industry. When you take a look at 2019 alone, he directed The Lion King. He debuted The Mandalorian. He guest starred in Far From Home. He was also in Infinity War, and he shot The Chef Show all in like the span of what, 2 years, maybe between 2017 and 2019, or maybe 2018 and 2019. How the hell can anyone do that? So when you watch something like The Chef Show, you realize it's because he has the chef show that he's able to do this. And I think it's because when you have this much on your plate, you need something that's going to keep you zen. And that's the chef show. When you see him sitting there with Roy Choi and meeting Robert Rodriguez, and they talk about their favorite foods and they're cooking the foods, it's so relaxing. And he's so calm when he's doing it, but he's also enthusiastic when he's doing it because he's having fun, he's loving it, and he's eating it. I love the fact that every single episode, the second that they start cooking, he's already eating. He's the first person to take a bite. And it just shows how much he loves that he's doing this.
I mean, you have to
And
know what
to
your food tastes like.
exactly. And it's just it makes me want to visit these places. Definitely he wanted me to visit like the same Texas Smokehouse that he used in the movie. I believe the chef, is that Aaron Sanchez? I might be wrong, but Aaron something, I think. But he'd visit these places and he made me want to go visit them. He opened my eyes to some of the places in Los Angeles that I also wanted to visit. And you just get some great insight into the food from Roy Choi, but then also the magic of filmmaking from guests like Robert Rodriguez and Dave Filoni and other things. So it, for me, this is the only show, to kind of echo Amanda's sentiments, the only cooking show that I will actively rewatch just because I need something to watch to make me feel happy and to make me feel comforted, much like the movie itself, you know? So I think that this is the perfect companion piece to the movie, especially if you love Jon Favreau, especially if you love cooking and you love food. It helps you learn what's, you know, how to cook a lot of these food, you know, food dishes. And oh man, I love it. I love everything with the Chef Show and this movie a lot, you know? So yeah.
Oh yeah. Alejandro, did you happen to know that they did have this show called The Chef Show?
Honestly, I was clueless in that whole regard. But it's interesting that as both Mike and Matt have brought up, just personalities of Jon Favreau, I'd say how busy he is when it comes to industry. But he has a tendency to engulf himself or be obsessive over the actual product that he's trying to highlight. So seeing him actually do all the scenes and cooking so forth and seeing, I can only imagine what the show is going to be like in regards to him being down to earth or anything like that in general. I mean, look at his tattoos, hint, hint. He might have expressed some things that he might have been passionate or acting on that he showed as well. So I thought, that just expresses, in my opinion, how down to earth that he is. So now that all three of you mentioned it, I definitely have to check this out. I would like to see how it goes.
Oh yeah, definitely check it out. They do like they show you how to cook stuff. They go to different restaurants and everything like that. And just the passion, and you still get the film part of it because he does go into like histories and stuff like that while they're talking. But you also get the food aspect of it, and they talk about it's a really wonderful show. And I never thought a movie could stem a real life like live TV show, which was weird to see. But we are actually almost out of time, guys. So what I do want to do is get your guys' last thoughts on this movie. Would you recommend this movie to others? Mike, we'll start with you on this one. Would you recommend, and what are your final thoughts to
Oh
top it
God,
off?
yes. It's a comfort movie. It's a comfort movie about comfort food, which is apt. And for me, honestly, I watch this movie on a regular basis. It is a sweet movie with amazing food scenes. It makes me hungry. It makes me appreciate art. It makes me appreciate food. It makes me appreciate love. You see that in every frame of this movie. Regardless of whether or not, I do think that things get a little cutesy. There's love in every word and in every shot and in every description or, food prep scene. And that all spawns from a man who really, really, with all his heart, puts everything into his filmmaking and now his food, alongside Roy Choi. So, I can't recommend this movie enough. This is the, if you watch it once, this will be a repeat viewing for you for years to come. There's no question about it.
Oh yeah, no questions. No questions at all. Well, thank you. Alejandro, what are your final thoughts, and would you recommend this movie to the viewers out there?
100%. Like I said, I want to highlight the little my little disgruntles with female leads and what they had to work with. But other than that, it was fantastic. And there are some things, like I said, later on, you start to, nitpicking here and there. And I think the nitpicking here and there is going to always come with years as ages of films come, where you're always going to see something that could be vetted, or you always see something, oh, that could have been portrayed a little bit more. But also what I love of what Mike highlighted, and Amanda, thank you for bringing up the question, kind of just trying to go more in depth with it. And Eric, you mentioned this, that's why I'm kind of thinking about it. It does kind of show his or highlight his style of what he gets to work with. So if he has to have something, it's interesting that if you're going to copy and paste something, how, all right, cool, the foundation may be copy and pasted, but the actual feather or the concepts or the rest of the actual structure of the film's different, and how he could actually, go through that. And I never really thought about it, but now you're looking at the film's Elf and so forth as well, as cookie cutter. I would say, okay, let's be real though. I mean, hypothetically speaking, I'm thinking about the whole thing, in regards to, I guess, opinions of films or storylines. there's always going to be a copy in a sense of another one. I mean, Romeo and Juliet's portrayed, I don't know, 3,000 times on the screen in some different form of other. So it's fascinating, him taking and reflecting this, and then the cast working with it too as well. So ultimately, fantastic film. I would suggest it again. And yeah, it's great.
Nice. Amanda, what are your final thoughts, and would you recommend this to people out there?
Highly recommend the movie. By the way, there is a Chef of Film cookbook that does have like the mojo pork cubanos recipe in it. You can find it online. There's also like yuca fries and the pasta and the berries and cream. I'm not a great cook, unfortunately, but my brother's a Le Cordon Bleu graduate chef and he can cook. So I have definitely given him a couple of these recipes. I have yet to taste them. But yeah, no, I mean, I love the movie, and like Mike said, it's a comfort film. I you know, you have a handful of those movies that you just watch over and over and over, and this is one of them, as long as I have food.
Oh yeah, for me as well. I definitely recommend this movie. It's a comfort film, just like the rest of you have said. I love watching the characters and mainly the food. I'm not gonna lie, it's mainly the food. But I definitely recommend this to everybody out there. Definitely go and see it. It's streaming on a couple of places right now. If not, Amazon has it. If not, just go buy a physical copy because it's great. Just buy the movie. But that is all the time we have today, guys. Thank you all for being here. I definitely appreciate you coming to talk about The Chef with me. I'm gonna definitely shout you guys out. Please let the no people know out there where they can find you guys. We'll start with you, Amanda.
I'm on all the socials at Roland Yolin.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you. Go definitely check that out. Alejandro, where can all viewers out there locate you?
Real simple. IAMCOWIE. That's I am Cowie. That'd be on Instagram. It's gonna be Alejandro.Cowie on TikTok. And then here, all of all my shenanigans with you guys.
Thank you for being here. And Mike, where can they find you out there?
Instagram and social Instagram and Twitter at tidybullboy182, but my work is on the nerdsofcolor.org, whatwatch.com, and that's at LA.
Perfect, thank you. And then you can locate me on all socials except for the Twitter app because I don't have that. At Heartless7, at HARTL, the number 3SS7. But be sure to tune into our next show. And if you want to keep talking about the chef with us, join our Discord to keep this conversation going, as well as subscribing to all of our other platforms at Nom Talk Network. Tune in for our next show. But until then, I'm your host, Eric Ramirez, and everybody have a nomorific day. Bye.